Point Church podcast. Our mission is to help people find and follow Jesus. For more information, stalk us on Facebook at The Point Online or visit our website at thepointchurch.net. Now here's our message from God's Word.
Great job, band. Happy 4th of July weekend. It was a long weekend for probably a lot of you. You had Friday off, maybe. I know I did, and my wife didn't. Well, that was nice. She's in the crowd today, though, people, so I got to be very good today. So, yeah, we are in this series, Blown Away. We're looking at Psalm 23, and this chapter in the Bible is probably one of the most famous. And I asked my grandmother 6 years ago when she was 103, I said, Grandma, what's your favorite Bible verses? What's your favorite chapter in the Bible? And she said, Psalm 23. And up until then, I had read Psalm 23, and I was like, yeah, I don't really know the allure of that. I've got other favorite ones. But then once she said that, I began to look at it in a different light and think, wow, Psalm 23, what a great chapter in the Bible. And then as we're doing this series to get into it, to dive into it, and we, from the stage, have asked you as a congregation to memorize Psalm 23. And you know, we can't lead where we haven't been. So we as a staff have been learning it as well. So if you see a staff member today, please stop them, challenge them, and say, how are you doing on your memorization? I'm sure they're going to ask you back, so be prepared. And in fact, you can ask me after service. I'd be more than happy to answer that challenge, but I will also ask you how yours is going. So you have a couple more weeks to get that thing finished and memorized. It is something that's really nice to have. It's come up in through prayer for people that are going through things right now, and it is just something nice to have God's Word in your heart. So as we look today at Psalm 23:4, and it's going to be 4a, the first part of Psalm 23:4. There are 18 words, and it says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. There are 8 words that talk about the darkest valley. There are 10 words that talk about the goodness of God. God's goodness will always be greater than your darkest valley. In fact, David penned these words, and I was kind of curious what might have been going on in his life at this time when he penned these words. So we looked, I found a few psalms, Psalm 54, 1 through 3. He writes, save me, O God, by your name. Vindicate me by your might. Hear my prayer, O God. Listen to the words of my mouth. Arrogant foes are attacking me. Ruthless people are trying to kill me. People without regard for God. You know, he says, arrogant foes are attacking me. Maybe that's the valley you're in today. Maybe your job has got that. You know, the King James Version says the valley of the shadow of death. And everybody thought just about death that happens in your life, the loss. That's what happens. That's when you turn to this. But yet the NIV says the darkest valley. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, there are many dark valleys that we all go through. You know, is your job one of them? Do you wake up in the morning and stress? Do you go to work and no one talks to you? Are you just doing it for the paycheck to try to just make it through? David had people attacking him, trying to kill him, people without regard for God. He had Saul, King Saul, trying to get him with a spear and kill him because he knew that David was going to be the next king. Or Psalm 56, 1 and 2 says, be merciful to me, my God, for my enemies are in hot pursuit. All day long they press their attack. My adversaries pursue me all day long. All day long, it seems like you can't get a break. All day long, this dark valley is just, you're in it. You can't get out of it. In their pride, many are attacking me. Few more chapter verses down, it says, all day long they twist my words. All their schemes are for my ruin. They conspire, they lurk, they watch my steps, hoping to take my life. King David penned these words, and I can only imagine he was on his knees crying out to God. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He says, you anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. As he penned these words, what he was going through in his life are some of the things that you're going through in your life. You know, as we look at the characteristics of the dark valley, the first of which David pens, even though I walk through, not if I walk through, but even though, valleys are inevitable. They're going to happen. You know, there's three things. Either you are in a valley, you're in the darkest valley right now, you're on your way out of that darkest valley, and if you're not in one of those two groups, you're going to be in the other group, that it means you're going to be going into a dark valley. They are inevitable. John 16:33 says, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples. He says, guys, you're going to have trouble. Just two chapters before that, he told me, he said, hey guys, I have to leave you. I have to go away for a little while, and I'll come back, don't worry. But his disciples are freaking out. He is their rock. They lean on him for everything. And he's just like, I have to go. And Thomas is really not happy. He's like, I don't get it. I just don't understand. The anxiety, the stress, the worry that they are going through is now a dark valley for them. That may be for you, may have something in their life with anxiety, stress, worry, or an upcoming loss when you know that somebody's going to be leaving you. And he told him in John 15, he says, look, remember, when this world hates you, they hated me first. You're going to have it. And then in 16:33 is when he tells him, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. The second characteristic of a dark valley says that valleys are impartial. James 1:2 says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Valleys hit the rich, the poor, the young, the old. You saw this in David's life. When Samuel went to Jesse and he said, Jesse, bring your sons before me. I will anoint the next king. Jesse goes and gets his sons, except the one that was outcast, that the brothers didn't like, that the father thought wasn't even worthy. He's out with the sheep. So at an early age, David is in a dark valley. He's in the lonely stage. He's out with the sheep at night, protecting them from any kind of animal, by himself, outcast. Maybe that's you. Maybe your family has cut you off. You don't know why, but you're by yourself. People look at you and your job and say, they're not worth it. Just stay away. But then he gets anointed king. There's a new peak. He's from this dark valley to a peak. He's like, yes, this is great. But then he gets sent right back out to the field again as a king. There's another dark valley by himself again. He comes into the service of Saul, becomes best friends with Saul's son, Jonathan. Have a great relationship. But then Saul remembers who David is and wants to kill him. Another dark valley. So he runs. David becomes king. Another great peak. He sees Bathsheba, commits adultery, commits murder, murders Bathsheba's husband Uriah, has a child, loses that child. Very dark valley, and maybe that's you. Maybe you've lost a child or have lost someone in your life. They're impartial. They don't care who you are. They didn't care who David was. Jesus himself had to go through dark valleys. You think Jesus, yeah, he was God. He didn't have to go through anything hard. He was at the Garden of Gethsemane, sweating blood. He said, Father, take this cup from me. He was in a dark valley by himself, crying out to God. He was beaten within an inch of his life, all by himself, in front of everybody watching him, being beaten. Another dark valley. He was hung on a cross and separated from the Almighty Father to carry all of our sins, the darkest of valleys. Jesus himself had dark valleys. Dark valleys are impartial. They are inevitable and they are impartial. They don't care who you are. It will happen. Third characteristic is the valleys are unpredictable. And we're going to go to Jonah 1:1-5. I just want to read this to you. And first I want to preface this with, you know, there's the unpredictable valleys. Jonah, by what his actions are, meant that he was going to have a dark valley by what he was doing. It says, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord. Jonah is running from the Lord. So there's going to be some dark valley. Because as you remember at the beginning of Psalm 23, it says, he makes me lie down. Jonah is running and he's about to be made to lie down. But how it happens, how this dark valley happens, or what dark valley it is unknown. It is unpredictable. It says, and he headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for the port. After paying the fare, he went aboard the ship and sailed to Tarshish to flee the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. Now, the men on the ship, their unpredictable dark valley was created by Jonah or by the sins of someone else. So we have that in our life. We have the unpredictable dark valleys that we cause upon ourselves. We don't know what it's going to be, but we're running from the Lord. The Lord says, do something, and we don't. We go opposite. And then there's the valleys of a 3-year-old boy having brain cancer, beating it, having brain cancer again, and dying at the age of 4. And we say, why? If there's such a good God, why do children have to die? It's from the sins of someone else. Adam and Eve brought sin into this world. The sins of this world create the unpredictable dark valleys. When we run from God, we have the unpredictable dark valley of why we are running. You know, when I spoke to my friend Josh in Georgia about his son Charlie, when he first got the cancer, it was very hard. He leaned heavily into his faith, and it got him through it. But he still asked questions, why? As many of us do. When we lose someone, when we lose a loved one or a child, we say, why? Because dark valleys are inevitable, they're impartial, and they're unpredictable. You know, David had another dark valley. If you turn to Psalm 3, this dark valley was from his son. He was fleeing from his son Absalom. And what had happened prior to him writing this was that he had children. He had Amnon, Tamar, and Absalom. Amnon was from a different mother than Tamar and Absalom. Amnon was in lust with his half-sister Tamar, to the point where he would be sick if she wasn't around. And so he played sick to have Tamar come in and take care of him. Then he proceeded to rape Tamar. She was abused. That was her dark valley that she now had to go through because of someone else. She didn't know what was going to happen. It was unpredictable. Absalom found out. He killed Amnon. Absalom now has to deal with murder. His dark valley that he created. Absalom is exiled. David misses his son, says, Absalom, come back. Absalom comes back, starts talking trash about his dad, wants to be the king. So he runs his dad off, tries to kill his father repeatedly. So David pens these words. He says, O Lord, how many are my foes? How many rise up against me? Many are saying of me, God will not deliver him. But you are a shield around me, O Lord. You bestow glory on me, and you lift up my head. To the Lord I cry aloud, and he answers me from his holy hill. I lie down and sleep. I awake again because the Lord sustains me. I will not fear the tens of thousands drawn up against me on every side. Arise, O Lord. Deliver me, O my God. Strike all my enemies on the jaw. Break the teeth of the wicked. From the Lord comes deliverance. May your blessing be on your people. David penned those words about his son Absalom. See, the dark valleys are inevitable. They're impartial and they're unpredictable. Those are the first eight words. But now we get to the great part, the 10 words that of God's goodness, the guarantees about the dark valley, the first of which is God is with me in the valley, as David had penned about the Psalm of Absalom. He says, for you are with me. Isaiah 43:2 says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Can you imagine Moses and the Israelites coming up against the Red Sea? Seeing the Egyptian forces coming down upon them. And they're going, what do we do? Red Sea parts. And they go through. Their God is with them. When Joshua has to cross the Jordan in springtime floods and it just could sweep them away. They get to it, they put their feet in it, and it dry land. The rivers not sweep them away because God is with them. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego in the book of Daniel are thrown into a blazing fire, and they are not burned. In fact, there's a fourth member in the fire with them because God is with them. You know, John 16:33. We read earlier, said, in this world you will have trouble, but take heart, Jesus said, take heart, I have overcome the world. And in Hebrews 13:5, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. God is with you in all that you do. The second guarantee about the dark valley is that God has a purpose for me in the valley. David said, even though I walk through the darkest valley. See, I would encourage you, if you're in your dark valley right now, that you would stop and be intentional. And I don't mean not to run through it. I mean to walk through it. And not to walk to prolong your darkest valley, but to walk, to be intentional, to notice what is going on, to say, how, God, how can I glorify you? And how can this be used to glorify you? You know, when you go on a walk, you notice things. And my wife and I will sometimes go for a walk, and you just notice things. She notices pools because she wants a pool. I notice birds and flowers and trees, and I just like that kind of stuff. It's just relaxing to see the Creator creations that He has made. But when you walk, you're intentional. You notice things. So as David says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I would encourage you to walk through, to see what the purpose is. You know, 1 Peter 1, 6 through 7 says, in all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Notice, be intentional. What is the purpose of this valley? Romans 8:28 says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. He works all things to the good. You know, it was 11 years ago, 2008, I was in a peak. I was coaching an eighth grade basketball team. We were playing another eighth grade basketball team, and we were actually winning when we shouldn't have been winning. And I came out of halftime, and for some reason, I put my phone in my pocket. Don't know why, but I never take my phone with me. And I received a call saying that, hey, your stepdad Tom is not doing so well. He's at the hospital. He's not going to be long for this world. It may be a matter of hours. And as I got a hold of my wife and we showed up at the hospital together, they were performing CPR for about 20 minutes, and they'd called it. My mom had to go through a very dark valley. She didn't know the purpose. And we were at a funeral about a month ago. One of her friends' husbands had passed away. And she reached out to my mom and said, "Hey, can we have coffee?" And mom said that another lady from one of her other jobs years ago had reached out and said, "Hey, my husband just passed away. Can we have coffee?" And my mom was like, "Ah, I'm beginning to see the purpose of this valley." 11 years in the making, she's now being able to console the wives that have lost their husbands. You know, we're all just one phone call away from our knees. And I remember the day when my stepbrother Greg, he'd just been married 3 weeks. He was killed in an auto accident, and the sheriff showed up at our house. And he walked in, and I remember my stepdad just crying and just being secluded, not knowing how to handle things. And that may be you today. Maybe you've lost a child, or you've lost a family member. You know, my stepmom lost my dad a couple years ago, and that was hard. And then 3 weeks after that, I was going to be in El Salvador by myself with a translator talking to kids in schools about the Lord. And I didn't know the purpose of why my dad had passed away when he did, but I knew it in El Salvador. See, the week before he died, my dad, he cried in the doctor's office in front of me and in front of his wife. I rarely saw my father cry. So this meant something. And as him and I were going out and my stepmom was talking with the doctors, I said, "Dad, what's wrong?" And he said, I'm just scared." He said that in the office as well, so I knew something was bothering him. I said, "What are you scared about?" He said, "I don't know where I'm going." I said, "Oh, Dad, you've got a Savior who loves you, who died on the cross for you. You want to accept him as your Lord and leader today, you'll be in heaven again and we'll see each other again." He said, "Yes." And we prayed. And I knew where my dad was going to be. I knew why I had going through that dark valley, because when I was able to go to El Salvador and talk to those kids who had lost fathers due to gang violence or lost fathers that had left them, I was able to say, "Here's my dad. I'll see him again." And these kids started to accept Christ because they needed to have a Savior. And they had one. So the guarantees of the darkest valley were God is with me and God has a purpose for me. And I want to close out by reading Jonah 1. You know, this has been a phenomenal book. I've been doing a Bible study with a group of guys on Thursday nights. And I was scared at first because I didn't know these guys. Didn't know anybody. Normally when I do a group here, I know somebody in the group. I'm good to go. You guys think I'm all outgoing. Actually, I'm a very shy person, and that's why I know God is using me to do this, because this is not me. If you talk to anybody who went to high school with me, I did not like to speak in front of people. I could be a clown around the friends I knew, but to other people, I didn't like to do this. So we've been doing this Jonah, and this first chapter just spoke into me so much just about what we're going through in Psalm 23:4. We're going to read through it. It says, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because of its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and he headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard the ship and sailed for Tarshish to flee the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid and each cried to his own God. And they threw their cargo into the sea to lighten up the ship." We've already discussed that. So there's the dark valley. Jonah's running. He's in a dark valley. Unpredictable what kind of valley it was going to be. But God's saying, "Okay, you paid for this ship, paid to get away from me. I'm going to go ahead and break this ship up." So now the guys and Jonah are in a dark valley. They're about ready to die at sea. You're not surviving that. Shark and everything else are out there are going to eat them. So here's their dark valley. But Jonah, had gone below deck where he lay down and fell into a deep sleep. Now, Jonah ran from the Lord. He's in his dark valley. But yet, Jonah still knows that God is with him because it says he fell into a deep sleep. If you don't have faith in your God during your dark valley, you won't be able to sleep. You just don't have any trust. You don't have any faith. But Jonah, who ran from the Lord, fell into a deep sleep. He still had faith in God. The captain went to him and said, "How can you sleep? Get up and call on your God. Maybe he will take notice of us and we will not perish." Then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots to find out who is responsible for this calamity." They cast lots and the lot fell on Jonah. So they asked him, "Tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" Jonah answered, "I am a Hebrew and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land." Jonah still knows who God is. In his darkest valley, he still knows who God is. He said, "He's the God who made the heaven and the land, the sea and the land." This terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" They knew that he was running away from the Lord because he had already told them. So when he got on the ship, he said, "Hey, I'm running from my Lord." And they're like, "Oh, cool, we're running. We have our own gods too, so we'll go with you. That's fine." So the sea was getting rougher and rougher. So they asked him, "What should we do to make the sea calm down for us?" Jonah says, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea," he replied, "and it will become calm." Why didn't Jonah just go ahead and jump in himself? He didn't want to. He wanted to put these guys in a position to put themselves in another dark valley of murder. He says, "I know that this is my fault and this great storm has come upon you." Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not. So now these guys know that the God, the Lord of all lords, is the one doing this storm. And they decide to run from God. They say, "Instead, the men do their best to row back to land, but they couldn't, for the sea grew even wilder than before. Then they cried out to the Lord." This is when they began to walk in their darkest valley. They began to be intentional and to notice. And they said, they cried out to the Lord, "O Lord, please do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, O Lord, have done as you pleased." Then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to the Lord. Jonah had no idea what just happened. He was in the sea. He got thrown over. And the guys thought that they just killed Jonah. They came to the Lord. So there's something in your darkest valley that's going on in your life that someone may see, that you may not know how when you walk through that, when you pay attention to the purpose and that God is still with you, that they may see that and turn to the Lord. My dad didn't get to see the El Salvadorians come to the Lord. But in heaven, there's going to be some El Salvadorian kids going up and saying, "Hi, Todd's dad. I heard about you." You may not know why your child was taken from you. But somewhere in this room, there's another family that's probably lost a child or may lose a child. But you can come alongside them, and God can use that. There's a purpose for your darkest valley, and that God is still with you. You know, my wife and I, we have a 35 by 10 foot garden, hand dug. We hand dug it. When I say we, I mean me. Hand dug that thing. And this year seems to be a stellar year for weeds. It was even in the paper. Weeds are in abundance this year. Just perfect weather, a little bit of rain. A lot of rain at first, a little bit of rain, now a lot of heat. They're going to town. So my wife and I were out there in our darkest valley yesterday weeding that garden. And at 49, that's difficult to do because my back is filling it. I'm 49 years old. My knees, my elbows, everything. But as I sat there yesterday and I was preparing for this talk, I was looking out the sliding glass windows. There are 7 pine trees out behind the house. They're about 15 to 20 feet tall. And the sparrows were coming down and going through the weeds and picking things out. And they would take these long weeds back with them up to fortify their nests. And I don't know if they had had a storm that had gone through that kind of ruined a nest or if they were adding to the fortification of their nest. But all I know is, had I not seen it, I wouldn't have known what I considered a little pain in my life of weeding a garden turned out to be something that these sparrows could use. There's a purpose for your darkest valley. Look, they're inevitable. They're impartial. They're unpredictable. But God is with you, and God has a purpose. But you need to have God. Today's that day when you invite Him in and say, I need help with this valley. I need you with me. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for this day, for the opportunity, Lord, to speak your truth and your word. Lord, there are many valleys in this world. You tell us there will be trouble. There are many, many valleys. And in this room, I'm sure there are multiple different valleys, darkest valleys going on. I pray, Lord, that they would turn to you to this day and just give it all to you. I know that you are with them. I know that you have a purpose for that. And may they ask how and why, how they can glorify you and why they're going through it, that you may show them to help someone else. Lord, I know that there are those today that just don't know you, that need to come to know you, Lord, that they're checking you out, maybe coming back to you. I pray, Lord, that you would show them who you are and be so simple today just to say, God, I'm in a dark valley. I'm in a dark valley. And I know I've sinned. And through that sin, I know that you went through a dark valley. You took my sins for me. But you conquered the grave, the darkest valley there was. You conquered that. And I want you to be the Lord and leader of my life today. July 7th, 2019. Today is the day to invite Christ in to your life. Father, thank you again for this day and your Son. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this teaching from The Point Church. For more information or to learn how to support this ministry, head to facebook.com/thepointonline or check out our website at thepointchurch.net.